D-Mace Vingan and Donick 102.5, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful Tuesday. I am in a fabulous mood because the NHL season starts in roughly an hour.
Let's go.
Blackhawks at Panthers, a triple header on ESPN. Ooh. Of course, the Predators season starts on Thursday. Predators GM Barry Trotz will join us at 5 o'clock for the first of many weekly interviews with the Predators general manager. Are you familiar, guys, with a holiday celebrated each December 23rd?
What is that?
The last day of play before the hockey holiday break. Speaking of hockey,
that is December 23rd.
Yeah. 2 days
Christmas,
before
Adam?
Christmas.
It's not. It's
pre-Christmas
not,
Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Yeah, Christmas Eve.
Or as people call it, Christmas Adam.
What?
Christmas Eve, Adam. Eve, Christmas, yeah. Christmas Adam.
Yeah, Adam and Eve. There you go. Huh. I like that. I never knew that.
Hmm. Yeah, some people used to call it like that. Yeah.
I've never heard that until just now.
You're welcome. Hmm.
Thank you.
You learn something every day.
Yeah, I guess so. No, guys, there is a holiday celebrated every December 23rd called Festivus.
Okay.
Yes. A Festivus for the rest of us.
There's a tagline.
There's a poll. There are feats of strength. This is a famous Seinfeld episode, okay, by the way. There is a poll. There are feats of strength. I think there's some wrestling involved. Mm-hmm. And of course, there is the airing of grievances. That's a big part of Festivus, the airing of grievances.
Hmm.
But in Nashville, it must have been Festivus last week because the Tennessee Titans captains reportedly aired their grievances with head coach Brian Callahan, according to Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. So Albert Breer, in his Week 5 takeaways column on SportsIllustrated.com, had a lengthy section about the Tennessee Titans' improbable win against the Arizona Cardinals. And here is a part of Breer's reporting that stood out to me. Breer writes, quote, "What you may not know about the Titans' win on Sunday, what you may not know about is all the honest conversations that took place behind closed doors last week that helped set the stage for it," meaning the win. Mm-hmm. "On Wednesday, with talk on his job status ramping up, Callahan called in captains Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, Jeffrey Simmons, Amani Hooker, Cody Barton, and Morgan Cox for an extended conversation on the state of the team. He let them air grievances and look for deeper investment in what the Titans are doing. He also took personal responsibility for a team that was playing competitively, but lapsing too often and allowing games to slip away." A quote from Callahan, quote, "We all had to do better of coaching of playing. It's everybody. I have to do better. Our best players have to make plays. It doesn't have to be perfect. We aren't looking for perfection. We are looking for precision. I think the precision part of it is critical." So I have three questions about this reported mm-hmm. meeting where the airing of grievances took place.
Was a Costanza family member there?
That is not one of the questions, but that is a good question.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That is not one of the questions.
Were any of the Seinfeld family members there?
Also another good question, okay, but not one of the questions. So there are three questions I have about this, and we will go through them one at a time. So let's start with the first one, mm-hmm. and Willie, we'll start with you. We'll get your response. We'll get Derek's next. What do we make of Brian Callahan taking the initiative to call this meeting? Because as reported by Albert Breer, Callahan called in captains Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, Jeffrey Simmons, Amani Hooker, Cody Barton, and Morgan Cox for an extended conversation. So that's the first question I have. What do you make of Callahan taking the initiative to call this meeting?
I think it's a good move, and I think it was something that he had to do. I think he was aware, and he should be. I think even regardless of whether the media or the fans were bringing this up, he was aware that when the gaffes that happen, it is something that can undermine the belief that your group has in you. And so I think it's a good way to gauge, do I still have this team? There's a lot of games left. If I'm going to survive, I've got to make sure that my guys are playing for me. The other thing I wondered about was, is this something that was a lot easier for him to do, not having to call the plays and put together the game plan?
That was my second question. So we can answer both of them at the same time. My second question was, would Callahan have been able to hold this meeting if he had not relinquished play calling duties? So you can answer both of them at the same time.
Well, I think there's more time to address these things, and that is the traditional way a football team is structured. The head coach oversees the whole operation and isn't specializing in a second full-time job. I realize some people, some of the best in the business, do both today, but it doesn't mean that that's necessarily the only way it can be done or the best way for every coach. I think Brian Callahan is trying to survive. He knows he's on the hot seat. He's not dumb. His dad was a coach for a long, long time. He watched his dad get fired more than once. He knows that he's in a tough spot, and he's going to be the first guy to go if it doesn't get better. So I think he's pulling out all the stops, and I think it's easier to take the time to do it right when you're not burdened with a second full-time job, which hurt him in the game situations and, you know, in theory could have hurt his ability to connect with his team during the preparation, during the week.
So, Derek, same question. What do you make of Callahan taking the initiative, according to Albert Breer, to call this meeting with the Titans captains so that they could air their grievances?
This is, I believe this has been a build-up. Each game you lose in whatever fashion you lose, especially when the head coach is the prime contributor to one of those losses, at least. Let's just say one of those losses. He had a big hand in it. So after those games, there's chatter in that building. You feel it. You feel the tension. You feel something going on in your locker room. And as a head coach, before you let it, you know, get close to that locker room door to exit and for other people to pick up on it, you have to stop it. You have to go in and say, hey, listen, I need to talk to y'all. Our 8-9 leaders, we need to have a meeting. I need to, one, get the pulse of this locker room. I want to tell y'all first that I am truly committed to winning. You know, and I want y'all to be committed to winning. That I've made mistakes in games, and I own those mistakes. But I need to know, you know, what you guys need, what you believe we need to get better at, you know, things like that. And that's when players, you know, frankly, you know, they get honest. And because that's an opportunity. He's giving you an avenue to be honest and to tell what you like, what you don't like, what could be better. Because, listen, we're all in this together. Because if Brian Callahan gets fired, that next coach that's coming in, he may not want some of y'all. So don't just think, oh, it's Brian Callahan's rear end that's on the line. No, it's all of us, really. There's probably a handful of guys that if a new coach came in here, I would say, he would say, you know what, those five guys, I know I'm keeping. Everybody else, y'all got to try out. Y'all are fighting for a position. So this isn't just about Brian Callahan, but Brian Callahan understands that first he must admit, you know, the faults that he had in games, and to let the guys know that, you know, that they still can trust him. Because that's what this is about. You're hearing the chatter. So now when you hear the chatter, what happens? There's a trust issue. You feel that, man, they may not, this thing ain't going the way we thought it was going to go. They may not be trusting me or them or the person next to them. I need to talk about this. Because once that starts to creep in, that lack of trust, man, it could go fast if you don't check it. And I think that's what he would start. That's what he wanted to do. But then he wanted those other guys. He brought them in to a forum where they can be held accountable as well, where they can say, okay, there's a lot of things, but I need to do this first. I need to be better. I'm sure Calvin Ridley was the first person that rose his hands like, I need to get better.
That's
I'm pretty
what you
sure
want,
he was.
Right?
Yes,
that's
exactly.
What you want the coach starting off saying, hey, look, this is on me. Mm-hmm. I want to take all the responsibility. Then you want everybody else to say,
exactly.
No, I need to do better too. That's what a good leadership group does.
Mm-hmm.
But then I do hope. I wonder what was the best thing that was said. I wonder mm-hmm. what was the best thing he may never tell us. This is great reporting, though, by Albert Breer.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of stuff that he's really good at finding. This was eye-opening to me that this took place. Mm-hmm. But I wonder who said something that really hit Callahan and go, you know what? You're right, and I'm going to address this. Because that can get your that can get things moving back in the right direction as best as possible. You want to go down because you just don't have enough good players.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want – because that you can live with. You can't live with my team just quit on me.
Mm-hmm.
Because then
exactly.
you make it really easy for yeah. the management. You want to make it tough on management.
It's a litmus test.
You go.
That's all it
yeah.
is.
I'm just imagining I'm Spartacus. Mm-hmm. I'm Spartacus. I'm ass. No, I'm ass. No, I'm ass in that meeting. But the other question I have is this. Albert Breer said that Callahan called in captains Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, Jeffrey Simmons, Amani Hooker, Cody Barton, and Morgan Cox. Who's missing from that list?
Say their names again.
Say their names again?
Yeah.
Calvin Ridley,
uh-huh.
Tony Pollard, Jeffrey Simmons.
Cam Ward.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Why was Cam Ward not reportedly in this meeting?
Because he's a rookie. That's
but he
why.
Is a captain.
But
correct?
He is a captain.
He's the
These
only
are,
member of the
yeah.
Titans captain leadership group, whatever you want to call it.
Because
he
if
was
you look,
reportedly
yeah,
not in
if
this
If you
meeting.
Look at all those guys have been in the NFL for a while, all
yes.
of them. And they are the – Cam Ward is the face, and he is the leader of this team. But what has been the cornerstone of this team are the guys that he's bringing inside to talk with. Cam's going to be there, but this isn't something – you don't bring Cam in a room like this because he doesn't know the history of why it's the way it is. You don't want him to get involved in this. You want your veteran guys. Just like, you know, Joe's rookie year. He wasn't in those veteran meetings. You know, was he a leader on the team being a quarterback? Yes, he was. But he wasn't in those veteran-led meetings because it's a little bit different because you've seen a lot. Cam Ward hadn't seen anything. What he's seen in the first five games is just a tip of the iceberg.
Do you think there was maybe, I'm just mm-hmm. purely speculating, but that he's out because of not only what you said, that makes mm-hmm. perfect sense, but also, hey, what do we need to do to help this kid? You know,
exactly.
How do we
Could
make him
that.
Better?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want him here because I want to talk about Cam, and then I want to take what we discuss here mm-hmm. and then take it to Cam. How do we make Cam better? Because I think he could reasonably say, look, to the group in this room, a lot is riding on mm-hmm. whether Cam succeeds or not. We need him to be successful. Our quarterback needs to be successful for us to be successful. Mm-hmm. And
but,
he's a rookie. It's unique.
Yeah,
I'm curious about that.
Yeah, he's just – I don't think he's – ready to be put in that team. He has so much on his shoulders already.
Right, that's a good
you
point.
Know, he doesn't need to have something else on his shoulder. No, let the real veterans, let them deal with it. They know the pulse of the locker room. They've been here. They know what, you know, a winning team looks like and what we're doing now. It ain't the same. So what can we do? You know, what things y'all think will work? Well, how do we get better as a team? So a lot of those things are that. But then, you know, sometimes you can get a little heated. But that's a part of it. You know, you go in there, you try to air out everything. And once you leave that, because the part you want is, the win is, you walk out that locker room, and no matter what was said, we all are in agreement on one thing. I don't care, you know, if you said something, Willie, or Adam said something, or I said something. Once we walk out of this room, we all are in agreement that this is how we're going to proceed. And that's how they are. They all had their things to say. Coach might have agreed with some of them. He might not have. But when they walked out that room, they all were on the same page. And that's what you want, especially now, because he understands that this next game may be a make-or-break game for him. And not necessarily from the standpoint of him winning or losing. It's about how they look. Now, I want them to win, and Amy wants them to win, and everybody. But it's how do you – because I remember last year when they came off a big win, and then there was a no-show the next week.
In Washington.
So much so that the players were even like, yeah, we had a hangover from the last game. It's like, y'all are not a winning team. How can you have a hangover?
Right.
That's what I don't want to see. So me bringing in the veteran guys, us talking about this, moving forward, we got our first win, us talking about this, all is to prevent a meltdown this next game. Because that's the last thing you want.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do you make of Brian Callahan reportedly calling a meeting with six of the seven Titans captains, the veteran captain, so no Cam Ward reportedly, according to Albert Breer. But what do you make of Brian Callahan taking the initiative to call a meeting where the Titans captains reportedly aired their grievances? 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Derek has been part of the kind of meeting that the Titans captains reportedly had last week. So what could have been said in that meeting? Derek will share that with us. Coming up next, again, 615-737-1025. Hey, Titans fans, going to Las Vegas this weekend. Come hang out with Derek Mason, Chase McCabe, and Big Joe Dubin at the Overhang Bar at Circa Inn, well, Las Vegas. Drink specials are included, plus giveaways including two tickets to the Titans-Raiders game. Go to CircaLasVegas.com for more information.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it. You, Kroger, my son tells me your company stinks.
Oh, God.
Quiet, we'll get yours in a minute. Kroger, you couldn't smooth a silk sheet if you had a hot date with a babe. I lost my train of thought.
And there's the airing of grievances.
That's the best.
That takes place every December 23rd.
There you go.
Except for in Nashville, where reportedly the airing of grievances took place last week.
Do you think one of the captains said, I got a lot of problems with you people?
Something tells me, I don't see Calvin Ridley as a Seinfeld guy.
I can totally see Morgan Cox being that
guy. Not to make any preconceived notions about what people like to watch.
Yeah. Shout out Morgan Cox. He doesn't get enough love. Shout out Morgan Cox.
Morgan Cox been doing it forever. I'm telling you. He was doing a great job in Baltimore when I played with him for 2 years, I believe, at Baltimore. Yeah, I think it was 2 years. Or was it a year? It's one of the two. But he was a youngin' back then.
His 16th season in the NFL.
So that was my first or second year. Uh-huh. When he got in the league.
So Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated reported yesterday that last Wednesday, Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, Jeffrey Simmons, Amani Hooker, Cody Barton, and Morgan Cox were called in by Brian Callahan for an extended conversation on the state of the team. And in that meeting, Callahan let them air grievances, hence the clip from Seinfeld, and look for deeper investment in what the Titans are doing. Of course, we have a former NFL wide receiver in the room. So this is what I wanted Derek to do. Based on his experience, I want him to take us inside what one of these meetings is like. So first, let me ask you this question, Derek. How often do these meetings take place between captains and the head coach?
You got to understand,
Five is the lowest level.
And one is
one
the worst.
One is the highest level.
Yeah, that is correct.
This was a DEFCON.
It's the opposite of what it's often.
Yes.
This is a DEFCON 2.5.
Okay.
That's what this was. So he needed to bring them in. But we would have meetings, you know, just with sort of like the veteran council. with the head coach just to kind of get the temperature. And those meetings were just, hey, this is what we're thinking about this week. If we had a long travel or something, we bring us up, say, this is what we're thinking, practice, yada, yada, yada. So those meetings typically happens a little bit more frequently, but those are sort of like casual things, you know, coming to the office and coach say what he has to say, and then everybody, yeah, and everybody leave out of there. Typically, people coming in there right after practice or something, or after they got out the shower and got dressed before meetings. But this DEFCON 2.5 was totally different, because now you're coming in with an explicit agenda. You know, you're trying to stop something from happening. Everything else is just, those other meetings are just, you know, let's just take the temperature. You know, anything, everything okay, everything cool. You know, all right, we're good. Or, hey, make sure y'all pick up the tape in the locker room, because I'm walking through and there's too much tape on the floor. They work here, but they ain't here to clean up after you grown folks. Stuff like that. But this one was, he had an explicit agenda, and that agenda was to make sure everybody was on the same page, to make sure everybody got out their grievances, to make sure when we walk out of this room, we know exactly what the mission is. And we've had those meetings before. I've had those meetings in Baltimore. We didn't have many of them. That's the good thing when you are on good teams and veteran-led teams. And that's another thing. You get this type of meeting. Why? Because this is a very young locker room. And you got to make sure those veteran guys are leading the right way. And you got to make sure we all are on the same page when you're talking to these young guys. Because these young guys can be easily led astray and say, you know what, coach ain't done it. No, no. We need to bring you back in, young fella. So having the guys in to make sure none of this stuff is happening. So typically when you go in a meeting like that, and you know, it's like, okay, this is one of those meetings. It's quiet. Everybody walk in. Pick a seat, wherever. Coach's office, nice. Pick a seat. And the coach starts talking, and he go through what he needs to go through. And, you know, because at the time, I think we had one in Baltimore at the time, we were on the verge of changing coordinators. Billick was becoming the offensive coordinator again. And I don't know if it was Neuhausel or Fossil that he took over for.
Which year was this?
That might have been 2007, 8, somewhere around there.
I'll look.
Because we started off bad, and then he started calling plays. Well, the offense started off bad, and he started calling plays. So he took over the play calling duty. So we had a meeting because we had to find out, hey, listen, we had to make sure everybody's on the same page. And those meetings that we had, they were not contentious at all, because we all walked in there knowing exactly basically what coach was going to say, because we're watching the same things he's watching, you know? So you go in there with the attitude of, we're fixing it. How do we fix this? And we were able to fix it. And I think we ended up going to the playoff that year, but we ended up fixing it. But it took for the veteran guys, the leaders, and the head coach to sit down. And we had a veteran locker room, you know.
That's why. How uncomfortable was it?
It's never uncomfortable.
Really?
It's not uncomfortable at all. Because
we have this picture of grievances.
And that's why Cam shouldn't be in there.
I have seen some that have gotten uncomfortable.
Yeah, but that's why Cam probably wasn't in there too. Because a rookie is going to feel uncomfortable regardless if he's the quarterback or not. You in the head coach's room, we are about to discuss some grievances. We're about to go through grievances. You don't want your young guy in there. But when you walk in there, at least for me in the group that I was with, there was no nervousness, because we all knew the reason we were in here, because we had to get better.
Okay. Is it hard to tell your coach, I don't like what you're doing
with
this drill, or I don't like how we're traveling? You know, that can be hard if you don't trust your coach or you don't feel comfortable. And I think for the coach, mm-hmm. I have to be prepared for, mm-hmm. you know, my veteran player to say, coach, I don't like what you're doing, how we're running practice.
And that's why it's good that Callahan called the meeting.
Yeah.
Because when you call a meeting, you got to understand that you're opening up the floor for whatever, and you have to be grown up enough or leader enough to take those, what people are saying, and digest it and say, okay, how do we change?
And the leader has to be comfortable enough saying, you know, I'd really like to tell him that I don't like how we're running practice, or I don't like how we're doing our night before the game meeting. But I really don't feel comfortable doing it. He's going to feel bad. I don't want him to be mad at me.
No, but like, you can't. Because
if you're going to air grievances, you need to get him out there.
If you're
right?
going to, because the last thing you want is 2-3 weeks later, and now you're saying, it's like, then I gave you a chance to say what you needed to say. This is sort of like a no judgment zone. Say what you need to say. We all grown folks, because if we don't get it fixed, half of us is gone. The whole coaching staff may be gone other than Fossil. But everybody else is gone, and some of you players are going to be gone too. So there shouldn't be this a little nervousness. I was never nervous when I went to a coach's office. Well, one time. Well, twice. Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. But I really wasn't nervous. It was when I went on a visit when I was a free agent. I really wasn't nervous. It was more so like, man, I'm in Belichick's office. Ooh, wow. But Nick Saban, I was nervous going into his office in college. But I was never, outside of that, never nervous, because my thing was, whatever I am doing and bringing to you, I believe it can help the team. And if you say it doesn't, then okay, we move on. I remember going to Jeff Fisher. This was during mini camps. And back in the day, they could have you there as long as they didn't care. But we did have rules, but they didn't care about the rules. And the guys were coming to me because I am the player rep. The guys are coming to me like, Mace, man, you need to go talk to coach. This is happening and this is happening and we're working it on. And I'm like, okay, I'm the player rep. I got to go in here and say something. I wasn't scared. I went in the coach's meeting. They had a meeting. I said, coach, can I talk to you? Excuse me, coach, can I talk to you when you're done with me? And he was like, yeah. Matthew was done his meeting, went in his office, and laid out the grievances that the other players had. He didn't agree with me, and he made that very clear, but it was my responsibility as one of the leaders to go in there and talk to the coach. No matter, because if I don't, then who will? You know, so I'm glad Brian Callahan did what he did. Will it change? I don't know. It may be beyond, you know, what they're talking about, because the talent just isn't there from the top to the bottom, I mean from the bottom to the top. So they're going to struggle no matter what, unless they get some lucky bounces here and there, and then okay. But this was also a meeting to make sure, like any other meeting, when things aren't going right, what can you do to fix it? Are you doing your job? Because if you do your job, Willie does his job, Adam does his job, we're going to win. Because everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. It may not be perfect, but at least you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Ricky on our YouTube chat says, very interesting that the Titans got one of the most improbable, and I'm going to call, historic wins in franchise history the week after the captains got to air their grievances. Now, I will say that had the Arizona Cardinals not puked all over themselves and the Titans won, to use that word, if the Titans had not won one of the most improbable wins we've seen, one of the most improbable wins in recent NFL history. You know, does Albert Breer report this? And even if he does, it doesn't have that same oomph to it, right? Like, the Titans captains met with Brian Callahan last week to air their grievances, and they lost 31-6. And then we're having a different story about this report. Like, clearly it didn't work because the Titans still got their butts kicked. So I wouldn't go so far, Ricky, and thank you for listening, that the airing of grievances led to the improbable win. The Cardinals helped out a great deal.
When did that story come out?
It came out yesterday, but the reporting that Albert Breer did was after the game. It sounds like he talked to Brian Callahan after the game.
The crazy, funny part about it is, if they had not won that game, we wouldn't have heard about the meeting.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't have told.
We wouldn't have heard about the meeting. Yes.
The reporter.
And rightfully so. Right? I get it. I get it. Yeah, I get it. And because you win, when you win, it allows you to tell the backstory. And, you know, and it gives the other guys.
I love a good backstory. Yeah,
and it gives the other guys in the locker room, like, okay, they had the meeting. Okay, there may be something good going on here. But, yeah, that was it's just the backstory, you know.
You know what they say? Without ash to rise from, mm-hmm. a phoenix would just be a bird getting up.
You got a point there.
So, from the ashes, the Tennessee Titans. We'll see. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take your reaction to this report from Albert Breer about the airing of grievances between the Titans captains and Brian Callahan. 615-737-1025. Hey, the MTSU Blue Raiders will take on Missouri State tomorrow at 6:30. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com.
I just think, I mean, look, man, I think after the week that they had, right, there is so much significance to this one. Like, as far as I'm concerned, like, you, like a coach cannot get his players to tune out in this day and age, all the noise around their team, good or bad, right?
Right.
And these guys heard for the last 2 weeks how their team was dead, how the Titans have never been worse, how their coach was dead man walking. Why is he even still here? And for them to then have heard all of that and be down 21-3 so quickly and be down 21-6 in the second half and pull this off, I think it can be a turning point. You know, they're still not good enough to win their division or any of that stuff, right? But like, I do think that this is a team that can now has something to hang its hat on where it could become a tough out, you know? Like, they play the Raiders this week, then they have Vrabel coming back to Nashville in 2 weeks.
And
I don't know. I think Brian Callahan's a better coach than people realize. I know there's the game management stuff and everything else, but like, I think he handled all of this, the noise around him, like, pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, and I'll be interested to see how the next 2-3 weeks play out for them, because I think they have something to hang their hat on here.
That was Albert Breer on the MMQB podcast. We are discussing Albert Breer's report in Sports Illustrated about this captain's meeting between most of the Titans captains and Brian Callahan. Willie, you have a thought?
Well, I listen to that podcast pretty much every week, and you've pointed this out, Adam, and brought it up on the show. His partner on that podcast, Albert Breer, is Connor Orr, who has been very critical of Callahan and has basically turned up the heat from afar and observed, here's a guy that might have the hottest seat of anybody. Breer has definitely been a defender of Callahan, as you just heard. So it makes for good discussion on their podcast. Breer is usually more of the level-headed, hey, firing the coach in October is usually not a good idea, no matter how bad the situation, but he has also gone beyond that. He really does have deep respect for Callahan.
For better or worse.
I'm not saying he's right, but I think he's a credible reporter.
Let's go to John on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, how we doing today?
Good.
Hey, I love this conversation. I'll preface this by saying I'm a lifelong Phillies fan, moved to Nashville. So I'm married Nashville, if you will, married into a family that's diehard Tennessee Titans fan, lifelong season ticket holder. So I've adopted the Titans as part of my second favorite sports team. So I've got some bias here when I speak, so I just want y'all to know that. But when I hear about the locker room meeting with the captains, you know, it's all good and well, but as a fan, I'm like, it's his job. It's expected, right? It's like, it doesn't buy me any forgiveness of what I've seen so far through 5 games in the season with Callahan. I think he's definitely certainly on the hot seat. I think the most important takeaway from this past weekend that I've loved to see was just the energy on the field from the players every down. Going to the games and seeing the team through the first 4 games, it was like the energy was taken out of the stadium and it was taken out by the players themselves. So it was ever said in that meeting, if you really want to say that the meeting even meant anything, they definitely looked better more energized. They played. They went after every ball. You know, like, yes, we were given the game by the Cardinals. Like, obviously mistakes happen. But we were playing with enough energy to take advantage of that opportunity, right? What's the definition of good luck? It's when hard work meets opportunity. And that's what they did this weekend. If they continue to do that, I think that's what the fans want to see during a rebuilding year, right? They want to see the product on the field working their ass off. Part of my French.
That's okay. Thank you for the call, John.
It's a good call. Mm-hmm.
Ass is a popular word on this show over the past week, thanks to Cam Ward. So go ahead. Anyway, thank you for the call, John.
No, which is what I said, Willie. Oh, no. I get, you know, when things like this are brought up, there's some skepticism with everything. And just like, you know, the quarterback. Well, it's not that I don't think the quarterback's good. It's just that I don't think they can coach him. You know, so there's always this caveat to what's being, you know, done or said. It's like, okay, we had the meeting, they won the game, but nah, I don't trust that. I don't trust, because Cardinals, they were dead in the water basically for 3.5 quarters, and the Cardinals basically gave them the game. So I'm not buying it. And I understand why the fan base don't want to buy it, but every little step forward is a good step. They had a meeting. Good step. They came back from a deficit. However probable it was, they ultimately had to capitalize on it. And they did. Little steps. So I know the fan base wants Callahan and his team to go from, you know, from first base all the way to home, like a home run, but that's not gonna happen. They didn't struck out a few times. Okay? Now they finally reached base. Now let's see what they do moving forward. That's all let's just see what they, and the meetings are not for the fan base. It's really not, but I know why he put it out there. But it's not for the fan base. It's for the guys inside the locker room so he doesn't lose them guys.
As a journalist, I love a good turning point story. Mm-hmm. It's a great story to write. In hockey, it's always the closed door meeting, which I find hilarious, because how many of you have had meetings with open doors? The closed door meeting where we reporters were standing outside the dressing room and the doors aren't open, and it's been 15 minutes, it's been 20 minutes, and then you go into the dressing room and the players say, yeah, we talked, we said some things, we won't tell you what we said, yada, yada, yada. But if it sparks a run of some kind, those same players will tell you.
Go back to that date. Yes. It was that day.
It was that meeting.
They told us we're not going to U2. We can't go to Vegas.
Oh, my God. That's the prime example.
Yeah. Exactly.
The freaking U2 Sphere concert. I forgot about that.
I mean, that was a great story.
Oh, man.
Yes, and we love a great story.
We ate that up. We loved that.
I had some sads with that, too.
Even on the sidelines, I wasn't reporting on the Predators at the time, but I was like, man, I wish I could have told that story. Canceling that concert. But that's exactly it. Like, the Predators' point streak of a couple of years ago, it all started when Big Bad Barry Trotz, who will join us at 5 o'clock, and Big Bad Andrew Burnett said, no U2 concert for you guys. And the players were like, we'll show you. We won't lose a game in regulation for 7 weeks. And like, that's, so I love a good.
Well, I hope they're thinking that.
I love a good turning point story. But to your point earlier, if the Titans had not come back, if the Arizona Cardinals running back, by the way, did you see the footage of Jonathan Gannon getting up in his grill on the sideline? I think Gannon's apologized for that.
Yeah, he's apologized.
But, man, I saw that. I was like, damn.
Can you blame him, though?
Yeah, I can't blame him. But, man, he has to.
Is there anything dumber that happens in football than a guy doing what that guy did? I can't. Fortunately for that guy, he's not the only guy that's done it. So there's a club somewhere of, we're the idiots that dropped the ball one quarter of an inch from the goal line.
But that
shows you the difference between a young coach and a veteran coach. I think a veteran coach would have just told him, come stand next to me. And watch, and he would have talked to him like right there, and nobody would have known what was said.
Yeah. Instead of you're caught on tape.
Exactly, absolutely.
Now you look,
right in the man's face.
But my point is, is it DeMarcado? Is that his name? I can never pronounce it. If DeMarcado would have carried the ball across the goal line. Would have been 27-6.
He didn't have to get across the goal line.
And if I was playing,
listen, and if I was 6'6", I'd have been in the NBA. Okay,
then this game would have never been reported. One texter says, "Those who think that this win is going to be a turning point for the Titans are very mistaken. This team is terrible. This is the equivalent of a blind squirrel finding a nut."
Right. So this is going to be where it lies for me, because there are a lot of people right now. A lot of fans, but I think even members of the media who have probably gone out there on their show or on their outlet, whatever it might be, on blogging or podcast, whatever, and said, Brian Callahan's gone at the end of the year. And once you do that, you rarely see that person switch.
Exactly.
So, because I don't want to be wrong. They want to say, hey, I told you back in September he wasn't going to make it. Brian Callahan is trying to keep the door open and not have his name written in pen of he's gone at the end of the year. He's trying to create a pathway to have the discussion be open. Because in my mind, and I think, D-Mace, you're open-minded to this, to me, it's not a done deal yet. He's on the outside looking in. But he's trying to create a scenario. Can I get my offensive line healthy enough to play respectable on the offensive line and give my quarterback a chance? Can I look better? And what the caller just said, can my team look like they're fighting? And when they lose, let's look like we have it together and we're giving everything we've got and we're not doing as much dumb stuff. They still did a lot of dumb stuff in that game. A lot. And that would have been... that would have been part of the story. Mm-hmm. We would have been talking about what the heck happened on the 4th and 10 before the half where they snap the ball and Dan Moore doesn't move and Cam Ward is standing there going, what do I do? Here comes a guy right in my face. What about the penalties on the special teams? Like, there was plenty of stuff that you could point to and say, what are they doing? But now you have a little bit of narrative going. Can he change the narrative? Because would we agree right now the narrative is he's gone at the end of the year?
Oh, yes. Of course, yes. And this is why, whether they twist his arm a little bit or whether he just said, you know what, this team is bigger than my aspirations of being both head coach and play caller. He conceded those play calling duties because he wanted to become a better coach, not a better play caller. I'm not sure if Brian Callahan will ever be a great play caller. But I think he has an opportunity to be a really good head coach. And it starts by how he gets this team in a win last week to continue to play and play hard. And that's what those meetings are for. Because he understands he's not keeping his job now because of play calling. He's not, because he's not doing it. He's keeping his job because now they want to see him conduct as a head coach. How do you CEO this team? If it looks much better and they start winning, again, you don't have to go to the playoffs, but if it looks better and we're getting victories because of that, then okay, you've done your job and we're going to keep you on. But if you can't even be a head coach, then we got to let you go at the end of the year.
Hair Middle Henry on our text line says, that win reminded me of my father-in-law making a hole-in-one on number 14 at Two Rivers when he couldn't hit it out of his own shadow and the ball never left the ground. Josh from White House says the butt fumble is up there as one of the stupidest plays ever. I think Mark Sanchez is known for something else right about
currently.
Allegedly. Yes. Allegedly. Allegedly.
Yes.
615. But yes.
I think the one thing that could give him hope, right, on this, the narrative right now as he's gone, is if you can make it look better a little bit each week, the schedule gets a little bit easier. Maybe you can get a little healthier, that the default setting should be, I don't want to blow it up for my young quarterback, right? We've gone through the history of when you change coaches and coordinators and playbooks and terminology, it is not good for your young quarterback that you're hoping becomes something special. So if he can make it close, that would be my goal for Callahan. If I'm advising, make it close. They shouldn't be looking to fire you. They should be looking for reasons to keep you. But right now, you haven't given them that many until you just got this little early Christmas gift from the Cardinals, and now we have a little storyline, a turning point story, perhaps, to build on.
Is it a Festivus miracle by chance?
We don't know. Ah. You're playing Vegas, not a great team right now. Brock Bowers is hurt.
The Vrabel game looms large.
No question. But this is again, you're trying to string together a little bit of traction on an otherwise banana peel season.
That's good. That's one way to describe it. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will continue to take your reaction to Albert Breer's reporting on the Tennessee Titans. And we'll keep the Tennessee Titans conversation going coming up next, because I decided to get a little nerdy last night and do some research about Cam Ward and how he compares through five games with Will Levis. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Predators fans, Smashville Live returns tonight at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 o'clock right after our program. See your Predators star players up close and personal and get autographs and pictures. Tonight's Preds player guests will be Nick Hague and Nick Perbix. That is Smashville Live tonight, Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 o'clock.